Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good, Deb. Your priest told me that you like to laugh. So there was a priest that was driving, and it was stopped by the police officer on his way to someplace. And the officer stopped and said, where was he going? And the priest mentioned it, and the cop said, so what's that bottle next to you? And the priest said, oh, it's just a bottle of water. He said, well, let me see that. So he took the bottle, and he sniffed it. That's not water. That's wine. And the priest said, praise God, Jesus did it again. And he got out of that one. So, all right. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about healing. We had a terrific day yesterday talking about what God can do and what God is still doing. Do you know Jesus is still in the healing business? 20% of the gospel is about healing. And in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be imitators of God. And our best imitator of God was Jesus. And so he wants us to then step out and do what he has done, and he is the example. Because even in Exodus 15:26, it says, I, the Lord, am your healer. And God wants us to know that because his son died for us, I believe for two major reasons. One is for our salvation, which is John 3:16. And, of course, also for our healing, which is Matthew 8:17, for healing for our infirmities and diseases. So once he died, that died with us. However, there's still sin in the world. It depends on what we do with it. And it depends on what we see the power that he still has that we were given when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we've been healed. So if you have faith to believe in Jesus, then it's the same faith that you could believe to have healing. So let's talk about healing for just a moment here. So people say to me, I don't feel a healing, or I don't feel something happening, or when we pray, I don't know really what to do. See, the struggle about healing is sometimes we lose it or we don't have it. Or when we pray, we don't understand why something's not happening. Well, healing is a step of faith, is believing what God's already given us. We're bombarded in the world by what the world says. And I mean, it's fortunate but unfortunate. The problem is that healing in this world, in this country, is only a credit card away. So why do we need God? God tends to be the last resort after we use the credit card. Now, I'm not saying it's not good to use the credit card, but the point is that we want to put God first, right? So he says to go and see, because faith is really spelled R-I-S-K. Faith is about stepping out. It's about stepping out into the impossible, because if you could do it, it's not faith. Because Hebrews 11:1 says faith is believing in something that we cannot see. It's making the impossible possible. I'll give you a little story, and I'm going to have to read this because I have so many healing stories, I can't remember all the details. So my wife and I were at a church doing some healing, and then we were finishing up, and just kind of packing up, and a little boy, 11-year-old boy, came up to us, and he said, can you pray for me? I said, well, what can we pray for? He said, well, basically, I could see he had club feet. He said he had curvature of the spine. One leg was shorter than the other because of that. He walked in with a limp, and he could not really run without tripping, so he didn't do that. He couldn't bend over because it was so painful. His back was painful. His ankles had a lot of pain. And so he had been suffering that way for his whole life. And I was thinking to myself, that boy has some desire to have healing. And I say, okay, Lord, we need to... It's almost at that moment, once in a while, it's greater than my faith because of how much was needed at that moment, because that was a lot. So I said, okay, why don't you sit down? So I'll have him sit down, and I just held his legs like this, his ankles. I held his ankles. I sat here. He sat there. I just held his ankles. I said, Lord, you know what this boy needs. You know that you want to straighten his back. In the name of Jesus, I command the back to be straightened. I command in the name of Jesus the spinal column to be adjusted, straightened, and strengthened, and centered over the pelvic bone in the name of Jesus. And what happened is he could feel a straightening of his spine just happening at that moment. It was pretty amazing. I mean, that happens quite often. And I asked the Lord, I says, right now, Lord, one leg is shorter than the other. And by the way, if you have, if that is the case, but by the way, 80% of Americans have back problems, 85% worldwide. And what the best way to deal with that, or at least what I, one way to deal with it, obviously, you could pray for it, but I just held his legs and I asked the pelvic bone, it's the pelvic bone like which is off. And typically with a chiropractor, they will then adjust that pelvic bone. So I asked the great chiropractor in the sky, I said, I asked him to just lengthen. I said, lengthen the shortened leg in the name of Jesus to make him the same. And before our eyes, that short leg just began to grow out. We call it grow out. It's basically adjusting. It came out and it was the same. And he said he just felt a change in his back, and the back began to straighten out. So I said, Lord, he had his club feet. So I asked the Lord to rotate the pelvic bone. You can rotate it, whether it's club feet or the other, rotate the pelvic bone. Ask it and command it. See, Jesus did not pray for healing, by the way. He commanded it. I said, in the name of Jesus, pelvic bone, rotate inward. In the name of Jesus, it rotated. And I saw the legs just start moving. Just moving, and so the legs became straight. He got up. I said, walk over there. He walked and then started running, and he started running back. He had the biggest smile on the face because he didn't have to trip anymore. He said, but my ankles still hurt. I said, well, come over and let's sit here. So he just wasn't content. I said, well, praise God, let's get it all. I want to go to zero pain. So I said, let's just hold the legs. And said, Lord, you've done this much. Let's do the rest in the name of Jesus. Because of his faith. By the way, I'll admit, this is several years ago. He had more faith than I did. I like praying with kids because kids have a lot more faith than we do because they don't have as much stuff in the way as we do. That's why when Jesus went to him, you got me on a roll here, so. So this is, I'm not even on my notes. So how much time do I have? Okay, so when is dinner tonight? Okay, so in Matthew 18:3, Jesus said, you know, have little children come to me. It's because children, he said, that they'll inherit the kingdom of God because they are so believable at the time. I like having them pray with me because they'll just pray believing because the stuff has not gotten in the way to disbelieve yet. And so so we just prayed for the ankles, and the ankles just became healed, and he was just the happiest boy, just went on his way. We just thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to share a scripture with you in the Word to make my talk official. Okay, in the Word, this is a Mark 5, 25 through 34. It's about the woman with the hemorrhage. So it's Mark 5, 25. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had been endured much at the hands of the physicians had spent all she had and was not helped at all, but rather grown worse. After hearing what Jesus was coming into the area, she wanted to have to touch his cloak. For she thought, if I could just touch his garment, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of blood was dried up, and she felt her body that was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turning around in the crowd, he said, who touched my garment? And the disciples said to him, you see the multitudes pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware that she had happened, what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. I wanted to share with you a little bit of research that I did that women, especially because of the blood flow, they were considered actually unclean, and they were not able to go to heaven, but unclean by Jewish law and unfit for society. Even the priests had to avoid them because they're considered unclean by the threat of them becoming ritually defiled. And when a priest is defiled, it's a threat of retribution and death for them and the removal of their family from their home in the land. It was pretty awful. So she knew that she was taking a chance because she was unclean to go into society, but going into that. But because of her belief and her destitute and her desire to get that healing, she decided to take the chance and go in because of who Jesus was. And when she touched it, she only touched a tassel, by the way, and Jesus felt the flow of coming off. And now, he knew what was going on. I believe a lot in the Bible because he is all-knowing. And I believe the Bible is all about us using metaphorically what he's talking about. So when Jesus said, your faith has made you well, because of her stepping out, I believe that's what happened. By believing what, by seeing what Jesus can do and thanking Jesus for what he has for us. You know what's interesting is times are really not changed. People still have, I pray for a lot of people with 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 year injuries that have not gone away. And we'll pray for it and God still heals them. It's the matter of our seeking and our believing what we have. See, in Matthew 21, 22, it says, when you pray, believing, you shall receive. But it's a matter of that believing. And in verse 32, after the healing, Jesus looked around again, and I mentioned that she was afraid. Well, she was afraid because of what she's doing, and she felt, because being a priest, that Jesus was going to rebuke her because she came out on what she did. But he reassured her that he is greater than that. He is greater than what you know or what your father and mother and an image that you have from an authority figure in your past may make you believe about an authority figure now. Jesus is not your father. So you need to realize that by seeking it. Hebrews 11:6 talks about he who comes to God must believe that he is. So God is a rewarder of those who seek him. He will reward you because you're seeking, just like he did her. So I want you to, when you think about a child, if a child stepped out to try to do something new, you need to realize that you'll be proud of that child because of that stepping out, and you're so glad, and you want them to do that even more. So Jesus wants you to step out in faith to do even more. And I want to give you a story. I've been given permission by Kathy Esterline. Some of you know her story. She's probably told you more than once, I was told. But anyway, that's all good because it's just a great testimony. She's waiting for a few other things to be healed that she's going to come and talk to me about, and then she'll have another testimony to tell you. But for those that maybe that don't know, she apparently went in for cataract surgery, and it didn't work out. Apparently, three or more surgeries later, it had gotten worse actually, and the pain in her eyes from using laser surgery was so bad, it was like picking like all these needles. She said she was in excruciating pain, extreme pain in her eyes. And the odd thing is, doctor said, everything is normal. Your cataracts are gone, your glasses, your lenses are right, your eyesight is perfect, but there's still something wrong, she said, but they couldn't do anything more for her. But it didn't make sense. Well, this is the whole point, is that when you have a lot of trauma in your life, in your body and in your mind, emotional or physical, by the way, there's something called cellular memory trauma. What happens is the more my body is poked, the more that memory of that trauma stays with you. So in one hand, the doctors may say one thing, but your body says something else. So what I did is I worked on the emotional trauma and the cellular memory trauma of the operations in her eye. And the more we got around, we went to each operation to let go of that trauma. And when we did, the pain went down, kept on going down. And I saw her over several sessions. When she looked at one, read one of my books, she didn't realize that I live in Michigan by her. By those that from Michigan, I live right here. Okay. All right. So she came to see me, and we were able to decrease it even more. What I liked about as a Christian therapist and as a healer is the fact that her tenacity and her willing to want that more. I'm a very assertive therapist. I've been doing it for like 36 years, so I just go after the healing because there's no reason why you should have it. Okay, but there's a reason in my body that something's not going on right, so I need to go after what it is. And so she did. And also because her desperation, like the woman in Mark 5, that she wanted to have that healing. Look, my advice to you, if you have something going on right now, I mean, I'd love to pray for you in the back, but at the same time is never stop seeking an answer for something. It's out there. You just need to continue to find it. Go outside the box. If you keep doing the same thing you've always done, you're going to always have the same response. And that includes physicians, that includes whoever, wherever you go, whoever you're seeking advice from. So what my let me go on to my story, because otherwise I got to stay with my notes, otherwise we're going to go on forever here. So what about you? What is God doing for you? What does God want? See, Jesus did not die on the cross for you to just go to church once a week. He died for more than that. Did you know that when you come to church, this is a place, an equipping place. What I like about your priest is the fact that Father Joe wants to give you more. Take advantage of what's going on during the week and the things that are happening to learn, like what we did yesterday, having speakers come in or whatever he has for you to learn. Because the church is the equipper. Do you know that the service doesn't start until you leave until you leave this door? When you leave, that's when the service starts. Because you're commissioned to go into all the world and bring people to Christ. Because healing itself is a great way to bring people to Christ. So when I go, you know, I used to hate going shopping, okay? Because my wife would go up every aisle, up and down. Okay. Well, now I love going shopping. Number one, my kids are out of the house now, so we can be relaxed. And so I like being with my wife now because just shopping is part of the relationship. That's number one. Number two, I love going shopping because I can go find somebody to heal. Hey, the best place to look is Walmart. Hey, is this being taped? I said, don't send it to Walmart. Okay. But anyway, so I'm going down the aisle and I say, look, there's somebody with some crutches. Cool. Let's go pray for them. Now, you know what? When you go up to somebody, just go up to say, hey, my name is so-and-so, and I notice you have some crutches. What's going on? People love to talk about themselves. So just ask them, and they'll tell you what's going on. And they'll say, do you mind if I pray for you? No. Very rarely do I get people to say no. So I just pray, just put my hand. Now, when I pray for them, you need to recognize most people don't pray because they're afraid that they won't get healed. Well, I want to tell you right now, that's not your job. Your job is just to pray. Our job is to go and to pray and just to tell people about Jesus. It's God's job to do the healing. So because if you think it's your job, then you're sadly disappointed because you don't have the power to do that. So we do that in Jesus' name. So what's interesting is you need to recognize when somebody gets healed, can you take the glory for that? No. See, because we're disappointed. We're afraid of also disappointing somebody or ourselves if they don't get healed. So if they don't get healed, then can you take the disappointment? No, you can't. So either way, you're a winner, right? So I want to just challenge you that when you leave here, I want you to be Jesus to somebody. The service starts when you leave. So just even in church, that's if you see somebody that's got something going on, I mean, the person that I'm going down the aisle in the grocery store, if they have a crutches or an arm sling or something, you know, prophetically I'll say, wow, I think they need prayer because I see this sling going on here, so I'm just going to go up to them because it's an obvious issue. So it's the ones that are not obvious that I'll go out to, and, you know, prophetically God will give me something that I want to talk to him about. And so your job is just to pray. It's God's job to heal. And so I want to just encourage you to do what Lord wants you to do. And the cool thing about it is it doesn't take much to do that. And most people can just enjoy the prayer just of encouragement. Hey, can I give you an encouragement prayer today? And that doesn't take much at all, whether it's a family member or so on. So let me just say a quick prayer and just to ask the Lord to touch you. Lord, would you touch each person that's in this place now? To give them the anointing of and the desire of just touching someone, whether it's just a word of encouragement, a prayer of encouragement, maybe even seeing something or sensing something that they need encouragement for, a prayer for healing that they see, a prayer of encouragement to encourage them or lift them emotionally that's going on, a burden or even, of course, a healing of their body. And we just say, just in the name of Jesus, we just pray for that healing. And Lord, thank you for the healing of that part of the body. We just thank you what you're going to do. And just bring that to these thoughts and to the minds of the people here and anoint them and strengthen them and encourage them as they do that. Because I pray over each one now, Hebrews 11:6, that as they seek God, there will be a reward. They're going to reward you, those who seek Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.